Just imagine a mid-30s software guy, dad, in corporate America, living in the suburbs of Baltimore, that created a podcast. Well, get excited, and I know that sounds exhilarating, because that's me, and this is my podcast. Hey, this is Jason. It's Monday. What the fuck? It's Friday. Jesus, May 18th. I'm skipping the weekend, 2018. And this is me recording episode number 3 of my podcast here in the suburbs of Baltimore in Phoenix, Maryland, in my home office. It's been raining like a monsoon for the past week. I forgot what the sun looks like, but I'm told it's good to have rain this time of the year. So I guess we'll figure out what all that means. But anyways, I have a pretty good agenda packed for today. You know, I want to talk a little bit about Ocean City, Maryland, some of the fines and regulatory things they've put out for the cruisers. So people that like to go out, cruise the strip in their car, you know, can't we just have a little fun? I want to talk a little bit about a dad shirt that I have, my love of mopeds and what it's like having an au pair. We're going to cover a little bit of Ocean City, Maryland season. It's upon us, man. The summer is here. Get out, have a good time. Talk a little bit about the O's, how dreadful they are. And I just had a statistic in a presentation I did in Manhattan last week. 82 hours a month is the average time people spend physically engaging, not just looking at, but physically using their smartphone. Craziness. Ductwork cleaning. People in my neighborhood are spending in excess of $1,300 to have ductwork dusted, cleaned out. I don't know. Makes no sense. Let's talk about it. And then we'll end with the cool clip that that I have. So let's get cranking. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to try to keep it to about 20 more minutes or so. And I hope you're enjoying my podcast. And let's jump right in and get chatting. Okay, so like 18 years ago, I had a Tomos moped. I absolutely loved it. I thought I was the king. But as I got older, I realized a moped is oftentimes fun for the rider, but something other people poke fun at and make fun of. But I was young at the time, and I eventually evolved into fast cars and all of that fun stuff. But, you know, I'm in my mid to late 30s right now. I live in the suburbs, have a kid. We have a place out at the beach. And in the summer, driving a car up Coastal Highway can be challenging. So for whatever reason, and to preface this, I used to have a Harley Davidson. I was a big rider. I sold it once I got married. But I do miss waking up in the morning and blasting around on a motorcycle. So lo and behold, I have found this cult-like following of people that love classic mopeds. I'm talking about ones from Slovenia, Austria, the Puch moped, the Tomos, some Italian mopeds. You can't even get parts for these machines. And I think the hunt is what makes it awesome. So I am the proud owner of a 1978 restored Puch moped. You know, I have some pictures of it on my blog. It's, you know, supposedly less than 50cc, but we made some tweaks to it. It's about 70cc or so. So it has a little bit of a kick to it. But to put it in perspective, my last motorcycle was 1200cc. This is, if I'm lucky, 70cc. But the point is, no electronics. It's an original pedal-style moped, so you can pedal it, you kickstart it, and you just go cranking on a 40-plus-year-old machine along the beach in Ocean City. It looks awesome. It doesn't look like you're trying too hard or like it's your only form of transportation because you're riding a vintage classic moped. The challenge is when something breaks, it's not like a quick fix. I had to get some fuel filters. You buy them on eBay. They come from someplace in China. You know, we had a fuel issue that we had to resolve, but it's a cool machine. And I'll say for all the late 30-year-old dudes out there that might go to the beach and just want to wake up in the morning before the family's up and blast around the beach and have a good time. Make fun at me, but until you try it, Don't laugh, because it's a whole lot of fun. So I'm going to be talking about some of my adventures with mopeds, and I'm somewhat addicted to them. I have another one I'm looking at buying, and my fear is in a year I'll be talking to you and have a garage full of mopeds. So enough of that, but take a look at my site, look at the blog, let me know what you think. The other thing I want to talk about, when we had our baby, I came across an awesome shirt, and it's called the Dad Shirt, and it has a carrying pouch. You buy it, you put it on, it's like you're a damn kangaroo. You put your little baby in front of you and you haul him around. But it's a t-shirt, so it's not some apparatus that you have to connect and hook and latch. It's literally, you throw the t-shirt on, you put the baby in the pouch, you're good to go. And our little baby, he's 4 months old now, so I'm not doing it as much anymore. But the first 3 months, I would always be walking around the house with the dad shirt. So that's my dad life, hashtag dad life, little bit I would want to talk about. And for anybody out there that doesn't know what it is, just look up dad t-shirt on Google. You'll find the company. And I would urge you to check it out. And it's a great gift for soon-to-be dads, or if you have a kid yourself, it's an awesome gift too. And talking about dad life and having a new baby, one of the big things that a lot of people ask me about is, well, you know, what exactly are you doing for childcare? I say, hey, you know, it's a great question. It's a fair question. I work full-time. I travel a lot for business, in the Northeast specifically. I'm usually home every night, but I may leave at 4 in the morning and go to Manhattan and get home at 5 o'clock, right? My wife has a great career in finance. She took 3 months off consecutively. I took 1 month off consecutively, and then she's taken 2 days a week off and then 1 day a week off for the rest of the year. So she split up her maternity leave. I took my paternity leave all at once, and we tried having a nanny. And the nanny came the first day, and we knew it wasn't the ideal situation for us. We knew, you know, we didn't want to spend, to be quite frank, $25 an hour for a nanny. And we knew to get a real quality nanny that was a live-out nanny, it was probably that price point, which is a lot of money when you need 45 hours a week of childcare. I didn't want to do daycare because I work from my home office. It's in a separate building on the property. So the convenient factor is I leave the house, but I can walk 150 feet and be in the house and check up on the baby. And it would just be weird taking the baby to a daycare, given I'm theoretically working from home when I'm not traveling. I also didn't want the stresses of picking the baby up after work. So we started looking at au pairs. Au pairs are young people between the ages of 18 and 25 that come to the United States on a J-1 visa. You pay a stipend per week, and you have to provide housing for them, a lot of cultural exchange about what it is in the United States, a cell phone, a car. You have to pay for the vacation, pay for some of the education, and all of their food. Well, it nets out, to be completely frank, the program about $19,000 to $20,000 a year. And then, you know, you do have the additional cost of like a cell phone, which in my case was relatively inexpensive using Google Project Fi. And then we already had an extra car, so it wasn't a big deal. Car insurance, you know, was like $70-$80 a month for us. So, it, you know, you're still in it for about $23,000 a year when it's all said and done. But the benefit is they live in your house, you begin to develop a relationship with the au pair, and they're part of your family, right? I mean, to the extent they want to be, you know, they have their own life. When they get off work, our au pair gets off work at 6 o'clock and should go out and hang out with other families. Luckily, where we live in Baltimore County, there's 27 other families, so there's a lot of interaction she can have. And she'll make friends, and weekends, she may go out of town for the weekend and stuff. So the first month, I would say, for anybody looking at this, is challenging because, you know, in our case, we had a new baby, and on top of that, now we have an au pair. But once you realize the benefits, in my opinion, the au pair provides, any 7 days a week, 45 hours a week, max 10 hours per day. So we had a wedding one Saturday. She worked 4 hours for us. If I'm going to be off of work, then I can watch the baby the weekday and she can pick up a Sunday. And, you know, it's not like the baby is being left alone, right? He's being left with somebody we trust. I can pop in and say hello. She sends a lot of photos to Amber. Amber can adjust the schedule as she wants. It's the flexibility is really what we like. So I guess what I'm getting at is anybody with a new baby, a few tips. If you're looking at an au pair, your house has to be conducive to it. I spoke to a lot of other families, and the biggest complaint was loss of privacy. And I think it was because, like, the au pair's bedroom was next to their bedroom. Luckily, we have a contemporary style home, and we're actually on a separate floor, and she has the first floor of the house with a rec room and a couple bedrooms down there, which is separate from the upstairs in the contemporary space with the kitchen and the master suite and the great room and that sort of thing. So we can all come together, but when we want alone time, we can have separation. The cost savings is great in terms of what you're getting. And if you do your due diligence and go through an agency like we did, I think you can feel very comfortable that you're making a good selection. So that's a little snippet on my personal life. You know, I'm gonna keep you guys updated on the au pair program. Mopeds, if you see a dude blasting down Coastal Highway in Ocean City, Maryland, be nice. It might be me. And if you're having a kid or know somebody having a kid and it's a dude, the dad shirt is pretty dang awesome. So that's all I got in terms of my personal life. Let's change subjects here and hop on over to around town and talk a little bit about some of my favorite topics in Ocean City. The summer season is officially upon us. I absolutely love every Friday escaping the office and heading out to the Eastern Shore, specifically our little getaway. We call it Milleritaville in Ocean City, Maryland. We're at 123rd Street, North Ocean City. And it always kind of cracks me up that, you know, we know between, let's call it Memorial Day, mid-end of May, all the way, in my opinion, through September up to about the beginning of October, Ocean City is a very popular beach destination, right? I mean, Ocean City is convenient from DC, Northern Virginia, Philadelphia, basically everywhere. In fact, up to 8 million visitors come to the island each year, right? So every weekend, you typically will have about 345,000 vacationers every weekend during the season. In the off season, you have 7,102 residents, according to the 2010 census. So that gives you a sense of the pop of traffic Ocean City gets come Memorial Day all the way through the summer and going into, you know, early September. And I get a crack out of it because, like, I want to go there to vacation. And a lot of people go to the vacation and they decide, you know what, this is where I want to live. I'm going to retire here. And kudos for them for doing that. But give me a break. All they do and all they complain about, I run a next door community, which is like a Facebook for communities for North Ocean City. And all the locals do is complain about the tourist. But don't they ask themselves, hey, you know what? I moved to a tourist destination. I probably can expect my population to go from 7,100 to 345,000 every weekend. I should expect traffic. I should expect people that might be a little careless because they're on vacation. I should expect people to enjoy the bars. I should expect more accidents, which are unfortunate. And the long story short of it is, you know, they complain. These keyboard warriors, all they do is complain about the tourists. All they do is complain about Ocean City at the Inlet, which is the first street down by Boardwalk. The Inlet's the original, like, parking area, you know, where the Ferris wheel and everything is. You used to park and it was absolutely dreadful to leave. You'd have to pay some lady sitting in a booth and wait 50 cars to get out. So imagine July 4th, everybody leaves after the fireworks, it could take you an hour to leave the inlet. So Ocean City said, hey, you know what? How can we help traffic and ease it? So they have a parking app that most major metropolitan areas have. You download the app on your phone, you enter some information when you park, you pay. Yes, you have to pay a 50-cent charge to use it. But let's say you're really having a good time with the boardwalk and you're running low, you can add more time. Then when you leave, you get in your car and you leave. You don't have to pay anybody. Oh my goodness. You would think, you know, the Ocean City was going underwater and the ocean was gobbling it up. I mean, the locals were nuts. I don't have a cell phone. Or I don't know how to use a phone. Or why am I paying 50 cents? Or this isn't a good idea. And what really irked me was, why can't you just give it a try? Make sure you try it. And you know what? If you don't like it, don't use the app. They still have kiosk where you can pay. But the only argument was, we took jobs away from people that sat on a stool 8 hours a day taking dollar bills and giving it back. And I'll be quite frank, that wasn't a pleasant experience for the end user, being me. They typically, by about 7 hours sitting in a hot booth in July, weren't the most pleasant individual. And, you know, if your argument is you're just removing jobs, my reply always is, you know, it's like evolution of people or evolution of technology, right? I mean, you can't expect a job sitting in a booth is going to be there forever. It's just like easy pass on the highway. Very soon, there will not be toll booths where you pay cash. It doesn't make sense. So if you think that's going to be your job forever, you're doing a poor job planning. And, you know, you might want to consider, you know, cleaning the automated kiosk machines that people use to pay and evolve to that job as an example. Another instance of around town in Ocean City, and, you know, they put up a coastal highway fence. So it's a median fence. It's about 5 feet high. It's white. It looks about as pretty as a fence can look. When you're driving at a speed, you don't really notice that you can still see through it. And there's a gap at the bottom. Everybody complained, well, there's a gap, people will crawl under it. So naturally, you get some joker that's being funny that takes a video of him crawling under it. But you have to have a gap below it. If the ocean rises and it floods, you can't have a bunch of trash and debris clogging it. You got to have a little bit of pass for stuff to get through. When giant hurricanes come in and blow debris everywhere, trash has to be able to blow under it. And the point of the fence is, you know, a lot of people don't go to the crosswalks. So they try to cross six lanes of traffic on Coastal Highway, and there's been a lot of fatalities. So in my opinion, the people that are going to jump the fence or crawl under it probably are not the people we're worried about using the crosswalks. They probably, to be quite frank, walk the 100 feet to the crosswalk to cross the highway safely. This is going to be more for the family with five kids, 10 wagons, and 18 umbrellas that were previously just Frogger style running across the highway. Now they're going to say, you know what? We're going to have to go use the crosswalk and everybody would be safe. So I would say, you know, you live in a resort town. You should be pretty chill. You should relax, appreciate it. And, you know, tourists are the reason why your town has a lot of the amenities that it has. This year in Ocean City is going to be a change for me and my wife and our family, right? Because we have a baby now. We used to go to Ocean City Friday night and go out Friday night, have dinner, and Saturday go out and go to some of the places I love. And, you know, it's going to be different this year, but I think different in a good way. And one of my favorite places to go is Secrets, Jamaica, USA, as it's called. Yeah, it's a little touristy, but I mean, they have nightclubs. You can sit in little rafts in the bay. They bring drinks to you in the bay, good music, lots of different music, and everybody generally has a good time. Yeah, you're going to have people that are 21 and in college, and you're going to have the old people, but at the end of the day, Secrets is really a place I absolutely love, and I can't wait for Ocean City fun and shenanigans this summer. And as I talked about earlier, blasting around Coastal Highway on that little moped. So let's all just relax a little bit, specifically around town in Ocean City. I'm focusing on because I consider my home Ocean City and Baltimore because we split our time. Let's just have a good time, embrace the tourist, and embrace all the goodness that tourists actually do bring to Ocean City. Hold on, wait a second, that's my cell phone. Getting a text message, getting an email, getting an Instagram notification, Twitter notification. Oh my God, Feedly's notifying me. Oh, I got an Outlook email. Oh, wait a second, 82 hours per month people spend on average, according to a 2017 ComScore survey on their smartphone. Now, step back to 2003, 2004, 2005. Yeah, I had a BlackBerry. It was strictly a data BlackBerry. I got emails. I'm an abuser of a smartphone. I'm not going to sit up here on some pedestal and say I don't use a smartphone. But the extent of smartphone usage for completely useless, time-wasting stuff is what kills me, right? Use it for business, use it to have a little fun, but don't use it as a way to forget how to really have fun in life. Don't use it as a way to only entertain yourself. And now when I travel for work, I just see people glued to their phone. That statistic I read you is actually about 2.5 hours, I think, per day or something. People stick to the phone and that's out to 82 hours. And I just feel like people are unable to function if the phone can't do it for them. I'll give you an example. I, as you may know, my wife and I, we invest in real estate. A lot of this real estate we rent to people for 1 week, weekends, either in the mountains or places out in Ocean City. If I don't provide it directly on a mobile device, it's like they're confused how to even check into the property. It's like they can't even figure it out unless their cell phone is physically telling them, now you need to drive to the place you booked. I actually get calls of people saying, hey, you didn't send me the app. And I'm like, I don't even have an app to tell me that it was, you know, I had to leave to go to your vacation property at the beach to check in by 3 o'clock and miss traffic. And I'm thinking, are you fucking serious? Like, you booked the place, you paid for the place. On top of that, I send you an email, and that's pretty much all I should have to do. You should be able to put something in your calendar, read the PDF I send you, understand the address, use that little smartphone I know you're glued to get the address. But it's almost like we're just expecting artificial intelligence, AI, to be the phone to be our brain. Jason, it's time to wake up. Jason, go to the bathroom and take a piss, and then brush your teeth, take a shower, grab something, and drive to work. I really do fear that we're losing a fundamental interaction and just how to live life without our phone based on what I do witness at airports and everything. So I guess I want to hear from you. Shoot me an email. Send me a reply on Twitter at RealTimeJason. Let me know your thoughts, because am I just becoming an old man? I can't imagine. I'm not even 40. Or am I just overanalyzing something? Because I just want to see people not be 100% dependent on their phone. Use their phone as a device to help them be smarter and more organized, not to do it all for them. And the other thing I'll say, I really like listening to Sirius Satellite Radio. And in specific, there's Rude Jude is one of the guys that I listen to on Sirius Satellite Radio. And he's a DJ host and is on Shade 45, the All Out show. And, you know, he's pretty grimy, and I can relate to him because it seems like he has a sense of humor like me and not worry about offending everybody. But he had a good broadcast the other day where he was, you know, talking about how people broadcast everything on social media. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I put a lot out there, but it's all controlled, and it's a portion of my life. You don't know everything I'm doing. You know what I'm telling you. But the trend is people are literally live streaming everything. There's one guy that I follow only because he lives in northern Baltimore County, and he literally live streams probably 11 hours a day, and it's about nothing. But the sad part is thousands of people are watching it. What the hell is going on? the guy isn't really that interesting. People are watching it. I just don't get it, and I'm really trying to understand it to the extent I can. And the funny thing is, as I'm talking to you, I actually have three phones right now: my personal cell phone, my business cell phone, and then my IP phone. And all three have been going off. So, you know, as much as I'm complaining about it, fuck, man, I guess I'm equally as connected. But you know what I did? I ignored all of them. I'll call them back when I'm ready to call them back. Instead, the trend I'm seeing is people are so afraid of missing out, they'll answer it, I'll call you back, or I'll text you back, or I'll do, you know what, live your life, man. Unless you're saving lives, literally curing cancer or something, anything you're doing can wait, and your life really isn't that interesting to be live streaming everything. So instead, why don't you impact change and go out and do something good versus live streaming about what haircut you should get. God, I sound like an old guy, and that's pretty sad, but that's what I think. So one of the great things about living in the suburbs is, you know, you have a little bit of land, a little bit of privacy. We're very close to the city, so we still have a lot of different culture and city life that we can enjoy. But I also am exposed to a lifestyle that I'm not actually used to, right? I mean, people that were born and raised in the suburbs of Baltimore. And when I think about some of the funny things of suburb life, I've talked about the strange cars and all that stuff, but it's also how people just blatantly waste money. So for anybody that doesn't have central heating and air, you have ducts, ductwork, duct, D-U-C-T, ducts, metal ducts that run through your walls. They're like tubes or metal, you know, metal tunnels, if you don't know what they are, that go to vents, and there's a vent in each room or multiple vents in a room that blow hot or cold air, or forced air, basically. You have a big unit downstairs that brings the air in. You have a unit outside that actually helps with everything. Long story short, nothing should be grossly getting in them. It's a closed system. The air that is going into the vents goes through a filter. So unless you have holes in your ductwork or your dumping stuff into the vents, or you don't change your filter, you really shouldn't have much to worry about with your ducts. Ours have been in the house since 1986, and I have no care. Now, years ago, I remember growing up, people would knock on your door at my mom's house and say, hey, we want to come in your house and vacuum. And they would come in your house and they would vacuum, and they would say, you see all this? When did you vacuum last? And, you know, my mom or somebody might say, oh, I vacuumed last week, or I vacuumed yesterday. They say, look what you're missing. All this dust I got. So they were just using perhaps a more powerful vacuum and getting dust that accumulated. And people would say, oh my God, I can't have that dust. I got to spend all this money. So this company basically says, you have dust in your vents that we will come and suck out. And those person after person spending $1,300 on homes that aren't even that old to suck dust out. I've read EPA report after EPA report that says it proves no benefit whatsoever. And yes, there's going to be dust in your vents, and usually it adheres to the sides, and that's about it. You're not going to have any big issues. But, you know, naturally, they take a before photo. This is your vent. This is your vent afterwards. Look at all the dust you removed. And people are buying into it. And I just don't understand how people can be so naive to actually say, I need to spend $1,300 every year to get my ductwork cleaned. And I thought maybe it was just one or two people, but somebody posted on the community site in Baltimore County, and many, many people are doing it. And I just can't believe it, you know, unless you have a hole in ductwork or something disastrous happened, you didn't have an air filter in, I would love to take your $1,300 and blow some dust out, because I guarantee it, after they do it, in 1 week, there'll still be dust there, because there is going to be natural accumulation of dust if the unit's off. Because what they're telling people to do is, hey, keep the unit off for like a day or two. So naturally, shit's going to fall into the vents, and then when you cut them on, it will blow out. So, you know, I'm sure there's some value if you have mold or something, but if they're really pulling out that much, there's a bigger issue than cleaning your ducts. If you have infestation of mold or infestation of, you know, mouse poop, there's a bigger issue that you need to look into, and cleaning it out isn't going to help. You got a bigger issue going on. So that's all I got for episode number 3. We talked about Ocean City, the fines. We talked a little bit about having fun in the city. We talked about my dad's shirt, mopeds, life with an au pair. We talked about Ocean City season. Summer season is upon us. Secrets. I love it. Fincome Coastal Highway. We talked about cell phone usage, duct cleaning. I'm excited for episode number 4. You know, I'm getting a handful of people that are listening to this and sending me some emails, getting a lot of people that say, who the fuck do you think you are doing this? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm just having a good time learning technology. So, you know, either love it or hate it, I'm having fun with it, whether it's 0 people listening to it or 100 people listening to it. And I plan to keep doing it and welcome all the feedback that you can provide. I'm going to end you with a free royalty-free song I randomly found on YouTube that said I could use it. Have a great week. Have an awesome weekend. I hope you're taking time off for Memorial Day. And come July 4th, if you're in Ocean City and see a guy on a 40-plus-year-old moped, wave, because it's probably me. See ya.